Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey's here, and the odds are what you're talking about in your column today. 3.3% pay raise. What are the odds? What say you, my friend?
Well, bottom line, slim and none for the 3.3. And I've been talking with union people, professional groups, and some fellow reporters about this. And actually, I was the most optimistic one until talking to every one of them. And I thought, you know, it's an election year, and federal workers oftentimes do very well in an election year because the president, you know, the politicians don't want to offend anybody, and who's going to notice a raise that small? All of the people, the reporters said it openly. The union types said it not for attribution, but they said they just don't think the political pull is there. The Congress is going to be too preoccupied doing other things, even though it's an off-year election. Everybody in the House and a third of the Senate are up for re-election, so mm-hmm. people are totally preoccupied with that. And they said they thought the feds would be lucky to get the 1% that President Obama has budgeted for. So that kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, the bill introduced, the 3.3%, has no Republican co-sponsors, mm-hmm. and don't know why that is. It could be they couldn't get any Republican co-sponsors. That's entirely possible, although I think certainly people like Frank Wolf in Virginia would have signed on, mm-hmm. if asked. The other thing is that they didn't want any Republican co-sponsors because they're trying to build themselves as the pro-federal party, particularly in swing states like Virginia, the mm-hmm. purple states where the federal and military vote and the federal family vote is so important.
Yeah.
So it could be either way or none of the above.
You write in your column today, President Obama has once again penciled in a 1% raise for January 2015. Federal employee unions don't like that idea. They don't think that's nearly enough, and you know, that's what you would expect.
Yeah, and they've come as close to criticizing a sitting Democratic president as they ever do. They've called the race silly and preposterous and whatnot, but they have not. I suspect if a Republican were in office, they might have marched on the White House by now.
Now, you've reminded me on a number of occasions to keep in mind that Congress can do whatever Congress wants to do. And it's possible, I suppose, that if the members from the D.C. area can put together this coalition that we've seen in the past, we could get an end run around President Obama. Maybe it wouldn't be 3.3%, but it might be somewhere in between. And the reason I say that is I wonder if some of this is setting expectations. I wonder if the expectation that President Obama is going to say 1%, if by some chance – these folks are able to pull out a 1.5% or 1.75%,
yeah,
or
right.
2%.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
did 2%. We did double what President Obama wanted to give.
And this could all, you know, maybe we've lived in the post 9/11 world too long, but this could all be a subterfuge too, because in the past, when John Berry, former OPM director, when he was an assistant to Steny Hoyer, mm-hmm. who ran the Democratic delegation, and they'd alternate between Hoyer if it was a Democratic president and Frank Wolf if it was a Republican. But they would set up this elaborate thing, and I knew that when John Berry disappeared, when he was not available, something was up.
Yeah.
I learned that early on in the game. And, you know, usually you could call Hoyer's office and get him and talk to him, get an off-the-record comment or something. But when he stopped being available, you knew something was up, and they were putting together this bipartisan coalition. And I don't know that that exists anymore. I don't know if they want it to exist anymore. It seems to me both sides are so intransigent up on the Hill now that, you know, maybe they don't want friends on the other side.
Well, that doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, but that's an argument we can have another day.
Yeah, well, that's like hating somebody of another religion just because they're fine until you find out what they are.
Right. Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey's here, and the column is up on federalnewsradio.com. Now, you write in the column today, too, you mentioned that an increasing number of members of Congress are camping out at their offices, and that seems to stick in your craw a little bit.
It really does.
Why?
It really does. Well, here are people making six-figure salaries. They're supposed to be representative of democracy itself. If a federal worker, or if you or I, slept in our office, they would rightly tell us to stop it and or fire us. So these people are beating the rent, they're beating the cleaning bills, They're eating subsidized food up on the Hill. If most of them now are millionaires, half of them are millionaires, but even if they weren't, and they needed the money, they can get haircuts that are subsidized. I mean, they have a free gym. They've got, everything is free. They're not paying the bills that ordinary people are paying. Mm-hmm. And some of them don't need to worry about that. There are, as I say, half of the members are millionaires now. But they have no touch with reality. You remember when President Bush the first went in the supermarket and he didn't know the price of bread.
Yeah.
And he didn't know how to work one of those machines.
The scanners, yeah.
I don't know the price of bread. You know, but I buy it. I pay for it. And, but I think we're holding different people to different standards. But it would irk me as a federal worker. It irks me as a taxpayer for people to be, living off the taxpayer, sleeping at the office. That means the cleaning crew at night has to tiptoe around them. I mean, what do they do? If the member's on a couch or a bed, do they vacuum around him? Do they wait? Do they change? It just seems to me so, it's almost, Alice in Wonderland, off with their heads kind of thing.
Yeah. So I guess my plan then, you're really going to hate my plan, because my plan was to sleep in your office.
I saw that folding cot, but yeah. I thought it was a plant bed.
Yeah. You got the big Your Turn show coming up on Wednesday. What are you going to talk about this
gonna
week?
Going to be talking about pay equity and, you know, the new emphasis on equal pay in government. And Janet Copenhaver from Federally Employed Women is going to be my leadoff guest.
Great.
And I'll have two folks from the Federal Times come in and give us their take on it. You know, it's a different situation in the private sector. And I have experienced this myself. Women, not too long ago, all things being equal, a man and a woman doing the same job, the man was paid more.
Yeah.
Because he was head of household, uh-huh. even if he wasn't. And he was the man. And, you know, by contrast, the government's not like that. You know, as we said before, a GS-9 step 5 is a GS-9 step 5, whether it's a man or a woman. The difference, the situation in government is where women are concentrated in the occupational fields they're mm-hmm. in. And that's going to probably change, because for some years now, we have graduating from college than men. And, so maybe they're entering the workforce longer, but they're coming in with a higher education. That's going to make it, as more and more women go into science and math and engineering, mm-hmm. that should make a difference. But to me, this is an opportunity for, the government to look at, and I'm not advocating, I'm just saying, look at these kinds of things. Also, we now have more women heading households. You know, there are just no men around. There are kids, but there are no men around to help pay the bills. But it could be that this could lead somewhere down the road to something like maternity leave for men.